seven. So I don't know. Somebody do the math on that. Since the third grade, okay. That's what you say. I was 18. 22 years, something like that. Okay, Toria, amen. We went together, and then we got married. So Luke chapter 17, verse 5, and it reads, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' And the Lord said, 'If you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you.'" The word of God, you may be seated. From the scripture read, I said earlier, Kanika, the first service that I was going to preach, teach. I think it ended up being a preach, but we're going to preach, teach, see how that goes. With the title, Not Making Sense, Making Faith. Not Making Sense, Making Faith. A few months ago, I was having a conversation with a great girlfriend, and she had just moved and was settling into her new job. She had been in this industry for 15 years, so that was one of the reasons why she was actually heavily recruited to get to this position. So she got in the position, she was making her rounds, doing her observations, talking to managers, seeing what was going on, and, you know, kind of wondering why they do the way they do things the way they do things. And so she's in the health and safety field, and if anybody knows anything about OSHA, OSHA don't play. If they come on the scene, you better make sure everything is all the way together. So she works in that field, and so it has to be done a certain way. If it's not done that way, as she told me the other day, when OSHA came on the scene, they will shut you down. So she makes sure that she does things a certain way. So she was on the floor, on the plant floor one day, and she called the shift manager over and said to him, "Make this make sense to me." She had pointed to something that was there that she had never seen before in her previous job. And she was kind of like, "Okay, you need to make this make sense to me." And so she told me, she said, "Ebony, if someone can make sense of something, then we can roll with it. But if it doesn't make sense, then it's in the gray area in her field. She can't deal with gray. She has to deal in black and white. And so if it's in the gray, we can't do it because I can't justify why we're doing what it is." And so that phrase stuck with me. Make it make sense. And so my question is, how many of us live our lives saying that I have to make it make sense? We do our research, we gather our data, we draw our conclusions, and we won't move until it makes sense. Everybody, anybody ever been there before? It has to make sense. If 1 + 1 = 2, it better equal 2, because if it doesn't, I am not moving. Make it make sense. And so what happens is that when we get to that point in our lives where we say it has to make sense, we miss out on some stuff. Stuff that is for you, but because you want it to make sense, you will move on past it. You know, where he or she doesn't match you on paper, you know, degree versus non-degree, high-paying job versus low-paying job, you own a house, they rent, you like, "No, we don't match, I'm gonna pass on this relationship." Or maybe you've seen a position that you know is meant for you, you can do it hands down, but you don't meet every requirement, so you're not gonna apply for the position, so you don't do it because it doesn't make sense. Here it is, we write goals with no stretch. We write the vision, but it's not plain. We would rather live for the next than to live out our destiny. Our destiny calls for radical faith. Our destiny calls for illogical faith. Our destiny calls for out-of-the-box faith. Our destiny calls for out-of-bounds faith. Our destiny calls for, my daughter Sanaa, she always says to me, "Mom, why do I have to match?" Our destiny calls for it don't have to match type faith. The question for us in 2020 is, will you forgo making sense for making faith? 2019, anything that you have done, it had to make sense. I know that was me. If it's not in the box, I'm not doing it. It has to make sense. But here we are in 2020. I'm going to challenge you today that for you to forego making sense for making faith. So if you don't get anything out of this sermon, I want you to hang on to this one sentence. I'm going to probably be up here for about maybe 20 minutes, so it's going to be a lot of words, but I need you to get this one sentence. I need you to write this down. Be bold enough to make faith regardless if it makes sense. I need you to hang your hat on that in 2020. I'm going to be bold enough to make faith regardless if it makes sense. That's our new mantra for 2020. Not making sense, but making faith. The gospel, according to Luke, is one of the four gospels. You know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke is really interesting because it's like a journalistic, it's like it's a newspaper, because it gives a thorough account of Jesus' life, and actually it does it in chronological order. This gospel in particular emphasizes that Jesus is the Savior for all. Luke, in this book, it goes through Jesus' birth and his boyhood, his baptism and temptation, his ministry in Galilee, his teaching on his way to Jerusalem, his crucifixion, and thank you, Jesus, for his resurrection. In chapter 17, which we are in today, shows why Jesus is the master teacher. He breaks things down. He lets us know so that we can understand. And in this particular chapter, verses 1 through 4, he actually gives us instructions. You got to read it. We can't go there. But I need you to read beginning at verse 1, because Jesus begins to break some things down. And then it gets us to our text, verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, "The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith." Essentially, they were saying, give us the ability to trust you confidently. They said, increase our faith, exclamation point. Like, Jesus, this is what I need you to do for me. I need you to increase my faith. Many of us have been there before where we have made this declaration, this declarative statement to Jesus, whereas God is saying, I need you to walk out 2 Peter 1:3, where we're saying a declaration, Jesus, I need you to do something for me. And he was like, actually, if you read the book, then you already know it's in you. So let's look at 2 Peter 1:3, because you're looking at me like, Minister Ebony, what you talking about, man? It's in the book. This book is so good. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Here it is. We have been given everything when we entered the earth. Soon as you got here, it was already in you. It's like a baby. A baby may not necessarily be walking out the gate, but guess what? The walking legs is already in them. Soon as they come out of the womb, they really are, they already an adult, essentially, that they just haven't matured to that place, but it's already on the inside of them. Watch this. We don't need an increase. We need a revelation. We want something, but it's already there. We just need to pray and ask for the revelation. We don't need more of Jesus. We don't need more of him. We actually just need to understand who he is. We need to acknowledge his divinity. We need to understand that he is Jesus. He is Lord. He is the Holy Spirit. That he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, I am. That means everything that you need, that's what he is. We don't need more of him. We just need to understand who he is. I should get an amen right there. This is a great time for the plug. Pastor Jay already said it, but this is the plug for the 21-day fast. Because if you have been saying to yourself, not out loud, but you've been saying, Lord, I need more of you. Lord, I need this, I need that. Well, this is the time for you to actually sit and pray and fast so that he will open up who he is to you. so that you'll clearly understand who he is. So that 21-day fast, don't put it off. I challenge you, sisterly, Christianly, lovingly, to do it. Because then your eyes will be opened to who God is and your path will be directed because you have a desire to know who he is. So I'm excited that we're going to have some testimonies in 22 days on what God did. And not only that, what he did, but that you understood who he is. I just have 2 points for you today. I said first service, I usually have three, but I have 2 points for you today so we can get out of here, so we can go purchase Morgan's book because it's awesome. So here it is, for you to be bold enough to make faith, regardless if it makes sense. Number one, you must recognize your potency. Recognize your potency. That's your first point. There it is in verse 6a. It says, if you had faith like a mustard seed. The mustard seed is mentioned about 5 times throughout the Bible. And as to help illuminate a teaching or to drive home a lesson, Jesus talks about it in Matthew 13 and 17, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 13, and where we are today, Luke chapter 17. When we hear about the mustard seed, Cheryl, we automatically take our minds to the size. We hear mustard seed, you like, oh, yep, I know about that because it's very, very small. But what I want to convey to you is to not only look at the size of the seed, but what is in the seed. Tell your neighbor what's in the seed. So what is in a 1 millimeter mustard seed, a very small 1 millimeter mustard seed? The answer is a 20-foot plant. That's what's inside a mustard seed. That small mustard seed, what's on the inside of it is a 20-foot plant. It doesn't make sense that something that small can produce and manifest something that big. You see, the seed is potent. The seed is valuable. The seed has culinary and health benefits. The seed, it's packed. It's full. It's jammed. It's overloaded. That's you, my dear brother and sister. You are packed with ideas. You are full of joy. You are jammed with grace and you are overloaded with purpose. You are potent. I need you to tell your neighbor, I'm potent. And so are you. It doesn't make sense that you come from a zip code that people would say you nothing good comes from that zip code. It doesn't make sense that you have failed time after time, but now you're making things happen. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because it makes sense because you are potent. And you are valuable. There's this show on Netflix called Raising Dion. Anybody ever seen that series before? I see a lot of head nodding. All right, so I'm not, no spoiler alerts, anything, but our daughters, Tahira and Sanaa, they like got really, really interested about this series. So in 2 days, we binge watch this series from the beginning to end. They had me up late at night watching this show, but it was so good. You get to the end, you're like, oh, we got to do one more. And then that one ends, you're like, okay, one more. And before we know it, it's like 11, 12 o'clock at night when we up watching Raising Dion. Okay, maybe just me, but that's okay. But a lot is going on in this story, but the hallmark, the point, is this little boy named Dion who has supernatural abilities that we learn later on that he got from his daddy. And he has these abilities but didn't understand the potency and didn't understand the power. But once he understood what he had, once he knew what he was working with, once he was able to get a handle on it, once he was able to harness it, he was able to do some things. It didn't make sense that this little boy, what he could do, but he was power-packed. He was potent. It didn't make sense, but he embraced who he was. He said, this is who I am. This is what was given to me, and I'm going to work it. And so that's where we have to be, where we got to understand. I may not understand it, but this was given to me, and I'm going to work it because I am potent and because I am power-packed. Now watch this. The mustard seed is one of the fastest seeds cue to germinate. So it's one of the fastest seeds to germinate. So what do I mean? I mean is that when you plant it, you put it in the ground, and within 5 to 10 days, it is emerging out of the ground. So you plant it, and in about a week, it's already sprouting. Some other plants, it takes a minute, a while, before you like, okay, is anything? I've been watering, nothing's coming out, but not the mustard seed. In about a week, you can already see it emerging. But for that to happen, it has to be in the right conditions. If it's not in the right conditions, it's going to decelerate. If it's not in the right conditions, it's not going to grow the way that it needs to grow. Is that you? Think about yourself. Are you in the right conditions? Maybe 2019, you weren't really growing the way that you should have been going. Things might not have been going the way that it was going. You got to ask yourself, was I in the right place? Was I around the right people? Was I doing the things that I was supposed to be doing? Was I actually aligned up to the word of God? Did I actually allow God to do what he needed to do? Or did I have God in the back seat and I was driving? Were you in the right conditions? Here at Reach Church, I say we have the right conditions. There's four things that is the right conditions, which is our reach road to growth. The first one is you got a check mark already. You get a gold star because you are here is gather. So on Sundays, you want to gather to get the word of God, to you be inspired. So on Monday morning, when you go out into the world, you got a word and you say, nope, no weapon formed against me shall prosper because I got that word on Sunday and I'm ready to go. The second one is connect. I need you to make sure that you signed up for our small groups, because that's the way where we make connections, where we have community, so that we can bounce ideas back and forth and say, okay, I need some help right here. I need a mentor. I need a sister friend that can walk with me. Our third one is serve. You got to make sure that you use the gift that God has put on the inside of you is to serve others. And then the last one is share. Man, you got to share the word of God. The word says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And man, he is good to me. And I want to let somebody else know that we serve a great God. Those are the right conditions. And when you do those four things, you can't help but to grow. You can't help but to come out the ground because you are potent and you are power packed. And you are potent and power packed, and it's in you to manifest. Ephesians 3:20, that is my favorite scripture. That is my favorite verse ever in life, Ephesians 3:20. And it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that's at work on the inside of us. I love that scripture because it gives me hope that, you know what, my math don't work. My math is addition, but the God that we serve, he is exponential. He is multiplication. He don't got nothing. I have nothing on him. I love that scripture. And guess what? You can do that scripture because it's on the inside of you. So for you to be bold enough to make faith, regardless if it makes sense, not only you must recognize your potency. And lastly, I told you I got just two points today. You must understand your capacity. Understand your capacity. Here it is back in Luke chapter 17, verse 6b. You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Pastor Jay, many of us are unclear of what we can do because we operate in our own capacity. We try to do things our way, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because we didn't create ourselves. So how do you know the actual capacity that you have if you didn't create yourself? So what do we need to do? Go to the creator. Go to the author that can be able to tell you, why did I create you? Let me tell you why. You don't know because you didn't create yourself, so you do not have the idea of your capacity. We don't use faith, we just do. We just walk out into the world and just do and just live. We do not use faith. Let's look at John chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 14, 12 and 13. It says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do." He's talking about you. "Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In that scripture, Jesus told us that we can do greater works. How can we do them? Because he says, "I go to my Father," so that you can have the capacity to do what you need to do. But because sometimes, or most times, or maybe a little bit, you don't have to tell on yourself, we don't go to Jesus. We don't ask him for anything, so then he can't go on our behalf, and then we don't understand our capacity. You see, we operate in our finite capacity expecting infinite results. We operate in our finite capacity expecting infinite results. Here it is. We still have on the imaginary electric dog collar around our lives. Electric dog collars, if you've ever seen them, they are used for various purposes, but mainly to train the dog. People use them so that the dog won't go out of the yard. So when the dog gets past a certain point, it gets a shock. Then the dog knows that it needs to come back, because I can't go outside of the boundaries, because that's not where I'm supposed to be. Eventually, the dog figures out the boundaries, and then it won't get out of its position even after the collar has come off. In doing so, it never reaches its full capacity. So the collar has came off. They have been trained. I can't go out of this box. I can't go out of the yard, because if I do, I will get shocked. But the collar is already off, and they have been trained not to go past that point. And here it is. We have trained ourselves not to go too far. We have trained ourselves not to make a decree. We have trained ourselves not to make a declaration. We have trained ourselves not to step out on faith. We have trained ourselves not to say yes to Jesus. We have trained ourselves not to not make sense. We have been shocked for too long, and now we are too timid to stand. What are the shocks of life? You may be saying, "Okay, Minister Ebony, I'm not quite sure if I've ever been shocked." Well, I'm going to tell you, you have been shocked. And then that's why we actually stand and don't move and waiting for things to make sense. So what are some shocks of life? Maybe it was a bad relationship. Maybe it was a failed career. Maybe it was some failed classes. Maybe it was you getting kicked out of school. Maybe it was a house foreclosure. Maybe it was a pink slip. Maybe it was an illness. Maybe it was death. Maybe it was life difficulty. The shocks makes us forget that we have a God capacity. It makes us forget that we were created to do Ephesians 3:20. It makes us forget that God said that we are the lender and not the borrower. It makes us forget that we are supposed to be victorious. It makes us forget that we are already conquerors through Christ Jesus. The shocks of life makes us forget. It doesn't make sense that you have the capacity to do some things. Man, look at the scripture. Like the scripture says that that you will say to this mulberry tree has deep roots, right? That you can talk to the tree for it to be uprooted and be planted in the sea. It doesn't make sense that you can actually speak to something that is rooted, that is grounded, that you can actually say, "You got to go. You got to get up out of here." It doesn't make sense. But you have the capacity when it is aligned to the will of God to do it. In the first chapter of Jeremiah, God is commissioning Jeremiah to be a prophet. I love this scripture. I love Jeremiah, Isaiah. I love the Old Testament. But Pastor Jay's like, okay, you need to be in the New Testament. I love the New Testament too, but it's something about the Old Testament, when I can't pronounce the words, I'm like, man, it's good. I just love the Old Testament. But Jeremiah 1:10, it messes me up every time, though, because it's like, oh, my God, what did the word of God say? And the word is so good, I'm telling you. So let's go there, Jeremiah 1:10. It says, so God is speaking to Jeremiah as he's commissioning him, and he says, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdom. He was set over the nations and the kingdom to do what? To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Somebody say capacity. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, and I will give you, we've talked about this before, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Somebody say capacity. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, another one in the New Testament. I love this scripture. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Somebody say capacity. We have the capacity to speak to the mountains, and it has to move. We have the capacity to root out the generational curse, even though it doesn't make sense. We have the capacity to pull down the thoughts of insufficiency, even if it doesn't make sense. We have the capacity to destroy the burdens, even if it doesn't make sense. We have the capacity to throw down the enemy, even if it doesn't make sense. We have the capacity to build that business when you don't have the money, even if it doesn't make sense. We have the capacity to plant for the kingdom of God, even when it doesn't make sense. Because you do understand, with faith, all things are possible. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Think about it. 2019, man, you probably thinking about some stuff and you were like, no, I'm not going to go that way because it doesn't make sense. I'm going to go this way because it makes sense. And then you say, man, you ended up on the road you shouldn't have been. You're like, but it made sense to me. Like, I went through everything, checked everything. It made sense, but it didn't work out. Maybe God was saying, I need you to go down the road that where it doesn't make sense. Because if you go down the road, I'm down that road. And I will make sure that I will get you to where you need to be. There's a scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge his ways and he will direct your path. It doesn't make sense, but the word says he will direct your path. It doesn't make sense, but the word says lean not to your own understanding, because your own understanding will get you to the where you shouldn't be. It'll get you to a detour. It'll get you to the cones. It'll get you to where you got to reroute yourself. If you just would have leaned on to Jesus, he will get you to where you need to be. But we have to make sure that we operate in faith. We got to get to the point where we're going to say, you know what? I'm no longer going to make sure it makes sense, because it's not always going to make sense. But when with God on your side, it doesn't have to make sense. All you have to do is make faith. All you have to do is say, I'm believing in your word, God. You told me. That's it. That settles it. I'm saying yes to you, God. I'm saying amen to you, God. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it for you, Jesus, because you told me that I need to follow you. You said that I am victorious. You said, God, that I am a conqueror. And so I am going to do it your way. We've done it our way too many, too long. And where are we at? Not where we want to be. So now we have to make up in our minds that I'm about to activate my faith. Like, I'm going all out. 2020 is the year of faith. Like, this is the year that I'm activating my faith. This is the year where I'm going to activate my faith eyes. I'm going to put on my faith glasses so that I can see. I'm going to see what only God can see. Because if I just, you know, if like I can't see for real. Like, I've been wearing glasses since I was 5. Yeah, I was that kid. Like, I really can't see. And so when I don't have on my glasses, it's a mess. But when I put on my glasses, it's clear. And that's how we've been living our lives without our glasses. It looks a mess, and we're trying to maneuver, trying to figure out where things are, where we should go. And it's like, no, put on your faith glasses. What does the Word of God say about that? Look in the Word of God and lean in on that. And then you want to activate your faith talk. Then it's like, you know what? I'm saying only what the Word of God says. I mean, there's things that we say that in our minds it makes sense, but it really doesn't because it's not lined up to the Word of God. We just say it so often. It's stuff that's like super crazy. And you like, you know what? That actually doesn't, no, that's not something I should say. I'm only going to say what the Word of God says. That I'm going to say what the Word of God says. Not what the Facebook says, right? Not what Instagram says. Not what my friends say. Not what the squad says. I'm going to say what the Word of God says only. I am activating my faith talk. And then I'm going to activate my faith walk. Where I'm going to walk in a room with my shoulders back and my chest out, and I'm stepping, I'm high stepping. Why? Because I have confidence. Because I believe the Word of God. I know I'm a child of God. I know that I'm going to conquer this thing. It may not look good right now, but in the end, the book tells me I win. And so I'm going to make sure I'm going to keep walking because I'm going to win. It's halftime right now. Eb, give yourself a pep talk. Anybody ever been in a room? You got to give yourself a pep talk like we can do it. Keep pushing. Let's go because we got to make sure we get to the fourth quarter. We can't quit when it's halftime. It's no point, Mike, of quitting halftime. We are going to make sure we go all the way to the fourth quarter, and then we're going to lean in, regardless if it makes sense. I'm activating my faith. I'm activating my faith eyes. I'm activating my faith talk. I'm activating my faith walk, and then I'm committing to that thing, and I'm going to lean in. I'm like, all right, Jesus, you got me. Let's go. I'm putting on my safety belt. I'm getting in the passenger side. And Jesus, I'm ready for you to drive. Wherever you're going to go, God, I'm going to be with you. Wherever you're going, I know we good. It feels like that there is a detour, but I know, God, you got me. It feels like we're about to go off on a cliff, but I know, God, you got me. And so that's the kind of faith that we have to have. Like, Jesus, I'm ready to go. Buckle me in. That's the type of faith that we have to have. When it doesn't make sense, when people want to talk about you, say, that's okay because God got me. I don't even have to tell you what's going on in my life. You ain't even worth it. You're not even worth the words. I'm going to get in the book and follow what God is saying. Jesus came to the earth when it didn't make sense. I mean, think about it. With you up there in heaven sitting on the throne, you have a seraphim singing to you, and you like, I have to leave this to go down there? Like, it did not make sense. And then he got here. He was teaching people that actually wanted to kill him. It did not make sense. And then he got on that cross, and he died for people, for the future people. We didn't even know if they were actually going to believe him and love him. Can you think about that? Like, man, think about it. Like, would you do something for somebody you didn't even know if they was even going to like you? Probably not. But Jesus, he did it for us that it didn't make sense. And then he died for us and it didn't make sense. But what made sense is that he got up with all power in his hand so that you and I can walk in faith, so that we can have potency and so that we can have capacity. That's the type of God that we serve. And so since he didn't make sense, we have to then follow the same path and not make sense, but we have to make faith. Stand to your feet. We have been in this pattern where we have said to ourselves, everything I do has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to do it. I do my pros and cons. I got my list. My list says, don't do it. My list says, do it. But you got to get to the point where you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care if it doesn't make sense. If he said, go, I'm going. I remember Pastor Jay and I, we were living in Kalamazoo, and I was working. We had two children. I was pregnant with Solomon, and my manager, director, she came to me and she said, Ebony, you've been doing such a great job that I want to promote you. I'm like, yes, okay, more money. This is awesome. You know, like third baby coming in, like this is great. And she said, actually, I want to promote you, but you got to move to Southfield. I'm like, okay, but the same position is here in Kalamazoo. Like, can we? She said, no. You have the skill set and the talent that I need you to go over there. They need you over there. And I was like, okay, but you see this belly, right? Like, I'm about to have a baby. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I went over there. She said, but you got an interview and, you know, with a couple people. I'm like, okay, I get over there for the interview. It wasn't even an interview. The president said, when can you come over? We sat in her office for like an hour just talking about nothing. I came, had my little 30, 60, 90-day plan. She said, when can you come? Then she said, you got another interview with the regional director. Ebony, make sure you all the way together. I'm like, okay. Got on the phone with him. He said, so when can you move over? I was like, what is happening? Like, this is not making a whole lot of sense. So then we get over. So then I said, well, Jay, this is what's going on. And he said, well, let me call to see if I could get a transfer. I'm like, okay. He said, call me back. Like, yeah, it's no problem. I can, we can move. I was like, what in the world? So then I remember I said, well, we got to really pray about it because I got two little girls and I'm big as a house. Solomon is due in October, and we talking about me moving in July. I'm like, this is not going to work. I remember we got to the altar, and we began to pray, and I heard clear as day, go. And I remember, like, on my knees, just bawling, bawling, like, Lord, it doesn't make sense. We doing fine in Kalamazoo. We had a good church. Got great friends, great support system. It's cool. Like, God, why are you rocking the boat? He said, it doesn't make sense to me. But he said, go. And I remember getting off the floor, and I told Jason, I said, God said, go. And we left. And it was so interesting because rewind some years before that, when we were in Indianapolis and we were trying to figure out where we were going to go, and we were like, Jason had a choice between, Pastor Jay, between Kalamazoo and Ann Arbor. And we said, we want to go to Ann Arbor. It's close to Detroit. You know, like, go have fun, you know, a little younger. We don't know nothing about Kalamazoo, Kalamahoo, you know. And then they put us in Kalamazoo. Didn't make sense to us. But we were trained. We understood our purpose. We got what we needed to get in Kalamazoo. And then Kalamazoo felt like a detour, but it was part of his plan. Then we got over here on this side of the state, and where we are in Ypsilanti, doing the work that God has created us to do. So it may not make sense to you right now, but just keep on living. Keep on reading the story because it's not the end. You are just in the halftime, but keep going. So stop trying to make it make sense. Just make faith and watch God work.
Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Listen, every eye closed, if you're in the sound of my voice, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been trying to make sense out of your life, but you know that you needed a navigator, you need a compass in your life, you need a Lord in your life, and something's been missing, I invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ today. What does this mean? Does it mean that all of a sudden I'm going to be perfect? He invites you into a relationship. The Bible says, them who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you could have changed yourself by now, if you could have fixed yourself by now, you would have already done it. Amen to that. The Bible says, man, that we serve a Savior that says, come to me, all you have labored and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. In other words, this salvation that he wants to give you, he already paid for it. He died on the cross for it. And the Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, then you will be saved. Amen to that. And then secondly, maybe you know Jesus, maybe you've been baptized or whatever, but you realize that you are not in fellowship with him. You are not in relationship and fellowship with him. And 2020, you made a decision, you made up in your mind that this will be the year that I walk with God. This will be the year that I'll be in relationship with him. And you need to make that recommitment back today. And then third of all, maybe you hear and you say, Pastor G, I've been coming to Reach, but I haven't joined this church yet. But I know that this is the place where God is calling me. This is the place where I'm connected to. Matter of fact, I live in Detroit, but I believe that I've been coming for a purpose. And this is the place where God has connected me to grow and to develop into everything he's called me to be. Listen, if there's any three, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you know if you need to recommit your life back to Jesus, or you know that you need a church home, just real quick, just raise your hand. I'm the only one looking. Just the only one looking. Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let me pray for you. Can we just repeat after me for those who have given their life to Jesus? Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you are my redeemer. I also believe that you were buried, but I also believe that on the third day that you got up with all power in your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Come on, if you prayed that prayer, come on, put your hands together for somebody who's giving their life back to Jesus. Listen, what I need you to do, just real simple, directly after service, go to our connection table, our connection minister. She's there. She'll get you connected. She'll pray with you. Here's the thing. Listen, you ain't even got to do that. If there's a card in your pew, if you got a pen, as the brothers come and we do offering, just put it in there. We'll follow up with you. We want to make sure that you get connected. Amen to that. And then all I ask is if you're here for the very first time as a guest, if you're here for a guest at the very first time, we want to make sure that we give you something just to say thank you for worshiping with us on this morning. You could have been anywhere, but you decided to come to Reach Church, and so we